Welcome back to Eco Talk, and we are talking about the death of environmentalism, and our last segment will be joined by T.A. Barron. He's been on the show before, right before the election. He's an internationally best-selling and award-winning author, a conservationist, and an education advocate, and he has weighed in on this debate on the NRDC's blog site, so that's why we asked you back. It's a strange time we live in, just when we're hearing more and more finally about some of our environmental challenges and what is at stake here. Along comes an essay called The Death of Environmentalism, although I don't think they necessarily were saying, we've solved the problems, it's over, let's take up tennis.
You know, let me just use one word to describe that essay. I think it's idiotic. I will go right out there and say that. I think that, of course, there are things we can do better, and I'll talk about one in particular, but I think that the whole idea that environmentalism is dead is just nonsense. The tragic fact is that in the year 2000, we happened to end up on the losing side of a disputed election that ushered in the most virulently anti-environmental administration in U.S. history. And that is the fundamental fact of this environment.
It's sort of like blaming the messenger for the message.
Exactly.
It's true that we're not aware enough and doing enough and succeeding enough, but don't blame the very people who actually are getting something done.
The fact is that money, greed, ignorance, and fear, and in the case of this administration, willful ignorance is an important term, because it's overriding all the science, all the health facts, all the public opinion polls in order to do what is in the interest of those special interests that support your
campaign. It's called keeping our heads in the sand, which was what we try to sing about not doing.
Well, those are powerful adversaries, very powerful. And the fact is, you've got all these wonderful people out there, people like you just had interviewed on the radio, John, and great organizations like NRDC and the Wilderness Society, and you have marvelous, heartful, thoughtful people who have dedicated their lives to saving the planet. It is not their fault that we happen to have this virulently anti-environmental administration whose goals have been very clear from the start to dismantle our environmental safety net. And the
strange as that is, let's not forget, let's just keep repeating just what's wrong with that picture.
Well, let me just name one example, all right? Just 1 year ago, with a simple bureaucratic maneuver, Interior Secretary Gail Norton removed 262 million acres from possible wilderness protection ever. Now, she renounced all federal authority to study or conserve these places, and not by chance, she paved the way, literally, for extractive industries to go into those forests, national forests and wetlands. But note, this whole colossal land grab took place after no public hearings, no open debate, no congressional oversight. It wasn't even announced on the Interior Department's website. It was simply revealed in a legal settlement with the state of Utah, which was released on a Friday night after reporters' 5 o'clock deadlines, just after Congress had left for spring recess. Do you think that's accidental? I don't. So this is really an outright war on wilderness and public lands, and by the way, also anything that could potentially slow down the short-term profits of those large-scale industries that support this administration. Even those industries are ahead of the administration right now in many ways. You're actually even seeing the coal industry, for heaven's sakes, talking about converting to the importance of mandatory caps on emissions and clean coal technologies. You get no leadership whatsoever. It's not just what this administration has done to undo environmental protections. It's what they are not doing.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. I'll interrupt you. So here's my question. Since all this is, in fact, true, and since all Americans have access to information sources, news, whether you get it on the Internet or newspaper, radio or TV, and given who has been elected twice as president and given the track record, wouldn't you agree that something is wrong with this picture? It's not that people don't know. It's almost willful ignorance on the part of the public. That's where I do place some of the blame there.
Yes, I do. I agree. And the mainstream media in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't there a single solid question on the environment in those presidential debates.
Well, Bob Schieffer said he just didn't have time, even though that debate was so precisely timed that that's an absurd answer.
Well, as you said in the last segment, just to ask him if he has time to breathe, eat, or drink water for a single day.
I'd love to.
But you know, the fact is that fear was what that election was about, and fear was a card that this team at the White House played very effectively and very hard. It's so completely different from the days of Franklin Roosevelt or Abraham Lincoln, reaching us to a higher level and offering us a future that we could believe in and rally around. The fact is that we are in a moment here where we have an opportunity to make an enormous difference for our future and the generations to come, but it will require a determined kind of leadership, which we do not have, and a public who's outraged, which we do not have. How do we get there? I think there are two things I'd say to your good question. One is, frankly, we need to keep talking. Shows like this are really the sine qua non. We need that as a base. But we also, this is the most important mistake I think that the environmental movement has made, and we need to do much better. We need to reach out to those diverse groups of people who could be natural allies. I'm talking about people of color, people whose first language is Spanish, ranchers, farmers, folks who hunt and fish, small business people, inner city residents, rural folks, the people of deep religious faith. I think that's a huge area of
possibility. That's starting to emerge. Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, and all of whom really believe in the sanctity of life and the importance of stewardship, which are fundamental to religious principles. And at the same time, what this Bush administration is doing by relentlessly pursuing these attacks on the environment, they undermine the basic American values of freedom and opportunity for future generations. And those are big issues. So we can be patriotic, we can be pro-religion, we can be inclusive in all manner of people who right now don't understand why, and we've got to do better in communicating to those folks. And that we can do. The rest of our troubles, frankly, are due to the fact that the worst mistake environmentalists ever made was not working hard enough for Al Gore in 2000.
I agree.
We're paying the price.
I agree, and maybe John Kerry, too. We are running out of time. T.A. Behrens, thanks for joining us. If you'd like to find some links to today's guests, go to ecotalk.net, and this is where environmentalism is alive and well and will continue to be the case. Have a great green week. We'll see you next time.